You know, I wanted to ask you, because you've traveled all over the country in a car. Do you know how to change a tire? What would happen if you got in an accident? Not an accident, but a tire popped? Because I will go on record as saying I straight up do not. And it's concerns me, as I'm sure it concerns other people in my life, but I wanted to ask you if you know how to change a tire.
That reminds me that I have to check if there's a spare tire in my car that's currently sitting out there with two parking tickets. I do know how to change a tire. My dad taught me two things: how to check the oil and how to change a tire.
And how to talk to a woman.
I do, but it's one of those things where I always feel like, I mean, I've done it like three times, I think. Never felt like I was doing it right. So I'd rather not have to change the tire. If I would have gotten stranded in the middle of nowhere, yeah, I could have changed the tire, but I just never feel like I'm doing it. It's kind of like changing the strings on my guitar. I'm just going to pay someone to do it because I feel like I'm not doing it right. Like I'm getting the job done.
Right,
the sound's
right.
Coming out. Like a car I could get from A to B, the tire's on, but I feel like I'm not, like, further down the line, something's going to be wrong.
Okay. Well, I think that, yeah, I think, just being able to accomplish the task is, good enough to get like you're saying, get to where you're going. But
think just YouTube it. if you got signal out there, just pull up a YouTube video.
I know. I just think there's just something wrong about that. There's just something wrong about, like, having to rely on, like, some stranger on the internet to teach you how to do something. I mean, there's no shame in it. But this kind of brings the bigger question is, what are some things that are kind of, do you think changing a tire is still an appropriate litmus test of
being a man?
Manhood? Is it outdated? I mean, sure, yeah. Like, I mean, I think intellectually, whatever. But as it stands in culture right now, like, do you think what are some better litmus tests? Because I would guarantee I'm going to venture out to say that a lot of guys don't know how to change a tire.
I think you would be surprised. Do you know how to check your oil?
Yeah, I mean, it'll tell me. Isn't there?
Oh my god.
You're gonna have to be patient with me as I fumble through explaining this. But so I know, like, the instrument.
Yeah.
It's got this. It's like this long phallic. Like a strip of
just a strip
of metal, right?
Yeah,
you stick it in, and then there it'll be able to tell you, like, if it's below a certain
take it out, you wipe it clean, and then you stick it back.
Yeah, I know how to do it. All right, it's been years.
Oh, so okay. So
Emilio, I just got my license.
Oh yeah, I gotta get my. Do you have to have a New York State license to be driving in New York? That's a really stupid question.
No,
but
that's
okay. Because when I was at the J. Crew store, she was telling me something about that. Because I was like, I had the Kansas ID, and somehow it came up that, or I like mentioned that I was like, I don't know, I talked about the car I had, and she was saying that you had to have a New York State license, and I was like, that can't. In the moment, I didn't really respond because I was like, that cannot be right. I think she meant, like, I got to have, like, the New York. She probably thought I had, like, Kansas State plates or something on top of.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't think you can have Kansas plates here.
Okay, but Mark.
Like, indefinitely.
Back to the. No, I for sure you can't, because I used to know somebody with a car. Damn, that sounds so.
I used to know somebody who. I mean, I am assuming. I'm just guessing who that somebody is. But.
And, yeah, they kept getting. They owed a bunch of money because they didn't change, like, the plates to New York. Okay, the marks of a man. I don't know. For some reason, I still think, like, changing. I'm sure there are a lot of men that don't know how to change a tire. And that's exactly what's wrong with society. That's changing a tire, checking your oil, and then, I forgot the third one I was thinking of. Owning a power drill and knowing how to use, looking as if it's not the first time you're picking it up, being able to really handle that thing. I think, what do you have in mind?
Well, all right. I kind of want to pause for a second because you said something interesting. Looking like you know how to handle it, right? Confidence. I think confidence is the mark, is what should every man's aspire to know how to at least fake.
Okay. But yeah, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, what if they don't have the role model? The role, everyone's got to find their role. I think, do you think young men, well, they do have role models and it's fucking radicalized men online. Do you think they're still looking, young men are still looking for like these like manly role models?
Yeah, I think they are looking for, I mean, I think they're still looking for role models. I think everything's kind of misplaced emotionally for them. So like, meaning like, I think they're after the wrong things. And so I don't know. I haven't really given this any thought, Emilio. I'm sorry, but it's a good question. Are men still looking for role models? Yeah, I think so. Definitely. Are boys, young boys looking for role models?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're looking for role models in the moment. I think everyone's looking for a mentor, but I think who they choose as their mentor, I think, could be a little problematic.
Did you have a mentor?
I've had some mentors. I wish I had a mentor right now, which I think is kind of funny saying now. And I'm sorry, like, I know we keep talking about 30 year olds all the time now, but I think it's kind of enlightening to realize, oh, even at 30, I kind of wish I had someone to show me the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've had some mentors in various like chapters of my life, but I wish I had like, I wish I'd stuck with like one, or at least felt like impassioned about the work one was doing, and wanted that to reflect, you know, and either like wanted to follow in that person's footsteps, not just like accidentally follow in that person's footsteps because you like learn, they gave you the tools to do what you're able to do now.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think you had a mentor?
No, I wish I would have had. No, I don't think I ever had a mentor. But I also, in the years that I feel like it's very common to have a mentor, especially like the college years, I was very like, I'm doing everything on my own, which was a detriment, I think, to myself in a lot of ways. But so no, I'm not sure I've ever had a, maybe like in high school, one of my soccer coaches was sort of like a mentor. I was about to ask, wait, how do you define a mentor? He was,
I mean,
he was kind of like a fatherly figure in a sense too, but also was just like advising me or like giving me a lot of advice, not just on the pitch, but off the field as well. I definitely made a lot of decisions based off of like the advice I was given, sort of. But then I got to college and I was like, fuck it, I'm doing this all on my own. I really only won.
Yeah. And I think what's, people who don't have like, who haven't had mentors like in various chapters of their lives, or like just maybe
totally lost,
even once, like they, yeah, well, I don't know if they're lost, but like what becomes tiring, and this is something that comes up in my therapy sessions a lot, is parenting yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Damn, I feel like I'm in the therapy room right now.
Well,
that hits.
This is how we love to open up the show.
You say that, you know, I was, sorry, that hit me like a train.
Well, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And you just wish somebody could just like take the reins and tell you what to do and how to do it and give you some guidance. But also, I think, you know, this is specific to me. I wish I had like a parent figure now, or like a model to follow. But at the same time, I'm very kind of like distrusting. So I'm like,
okay,
this person doesn't know what they're doing either. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I think everybody is, you know, even as someone who looks as successful to you in the moment, you know, who's to say there's going to be some kind of like mishap in the future, or some like left turn that you're kind of like, oh, well, see, not everyone's perfect. Not everyone can like really, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's like most people still don't really know what they're doing. But going back to confidence, they can like
fake it.
Yeah, they can really fake it or like kind of exude this sort of like calm about the way that they carry themselves. You would think that like, oh yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's and this is the start of episode 130. What are we getting into today?
Well, there's a few things we could get into. A few things I sent you over the weekend. Which, you know, damn, daylight savings hit me like a goddamn truck. It's only 9 p.m., but it feels like 2 a.m. right now. We're recording.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I fly out to Miami for like about a week.
Damn.
Half the time I'll be there for work, and then the other half I'll be there for leisure, for pleasure.
You got all the... Did you do the IG story post? Rex for Miami? Well,
I saw that friend of the pod, Ellie Loader, she was already in Miami, and she was close friend posting. And
oh, I saw that.
She... What's that? Wait, Anna, what? Loader. I call her Loader. Ellie Toter. Sorry.
Toter. Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
Toter. I barely even know her. But she sent me a list of things to check out, and I haven't had a chance to dig into it. But yeah, I mean, we're staying, you know, Anna's coming down for a few days, mm-hmm. and we're staying at the Standard, and we have some like dinner reservations, but we're in the process of locking down some facials. At the spa, because okay. the Miami Beach the spa, like the spa at the Standard is, you know, known as a place to check out. And I think we're going to do some recording down there just to add us some bonus content for the show. So expect that.
Damn, a lot of reservations. Huh? He needs that check to hit.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. What you were saying earlier, something about owing money to New York. Yeah, New York, they just keep asking you for everything. A bill in the mail for like $100, which is like not that much, but
for what?
from the tax department. And my heart skipped a beat as soon as I saw like the envelope addressed mm-hmm. to me. I go, oh God, I owe 10 grand or something. And yeah, it was only like $100, but it was just like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just unnecessary. It's like, I feel like it cost $100 to print off the paper that to come to me.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's kind of like my Dewey route. I was just like, why the fuck are the tolls so much? It was like just from a couple of trips, like two trips to be exact, of going upstate and back. So it's just like those tolls when you're like crossing over from New Jersey into New York. How does that amount to like $350?
Yeah, I don't know. That's insane. Yeah, I you texted me earlier about that Turo bill, and yeah, I like Enterprise hasn't sent me a bill for my last trip, so I don't know how the tolls work, and I'll let you know when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta the bills, they never stop coming. That's the certainty of life.
Well, what are you up to? What are you getting into this week? What's
this week?
Do you have any time to carve out for yourself?
I'm gonna, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna start trying to wake up at 5 a.m. to carve out some time for myself. You know, I'm working. Yeah, I'm trying to like, because if I'm up at 5 a.m., it's too early for me to like really even think about, start like kind of like having all these self doubts. Like what I'm really trying to do this week, I mean, I managed to do it last week somehow, apart from like one day where I slept till like fucking 1 p.m., which I don't think I've done in years, but it was because we had to work this private party till 3 a.m. and it was like the fourth one in a row. But this week I got up, just spent like an hour trying to make any piece of music, demo, whatever came out, and then just forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
The point is to just sit down and make something and then move on. So gonna keep trying, gonna get up at 5 a.m. this week to keep trying to do that. And then, you know, my ankle is sprained. It's taking a toll on my mental health, not being able to get out there on the pitch, but going to try to start doing some ankle strengthening, ligament strengthening exercises this week, get my body back to its peak performing
Ligma.
State. Ligament.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have the, I always find when like I get in these like just feelings of, oh fuck, I need to tackle a new like routine or a new, I have to will myself into like doing something that's going to be beneficial, you know, to my life.
Yeah.
That I just don't have the discipline to do it. Like, what do you have a way of like holding yourself accountable for waking up this early? Like,
I don't
do you
know.
Have any tips? Because I would like to do the same thing.
You know, I don't know. Because I used to be so like, I used to be able to wake up at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Like, I've lost all discipline, all will I had. But
it's like Elvis Presley over here.
I haven't seen, don't know the story. The morning that I had to fly back to New York from New Orleans, Will and I, we started watching a beautiful Lifetime movie, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. But we were like an hour in and we both looked at each other and we said, I hate that I kind of have to know what happens. So we kept watching. It was already like 11. By the time this movie ended, it was like 1 a.m. And we had to wake up at like 4 a.m. to like fly out.
Mm-hmm.
So my alarm goes off. His alarm goes off. I kind of like roll back over, you know. And all of a sudden I see the light turn on. And this man, he just gets up. He picks up his bag and starts calling the Uber. Literally, this all happened within like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. The Uber's going to go. I got to get up. And I know this sounds so stupid and simple, but I was inspired the way
the way he welcomes the day. He takes it on like a challenge.
4 a.m.
Something to be excited about. Like, oh, I get to wake up a couple hours early today. That's a reward.
Yeah.
That's like a treat.
It's nothing. He just got up. So I got up and I was like, you know, I started thinking about all the positives. Like, all right, his flight was leaving a little earlier than mine. So I'm going to have a lot of time at the airport. I'll have my little airport coffee and my Dunkin' breakfast or whatever they have for, that is what I got. I got a Dunkin' breakfast. I'll enjoy my quiet time in
the Ben Affleck combo
in the airport. So no, I don't have any tips, but I'm riding this high of having been inspired by that and am hoping that works. But if not, I'll have to figure out a plan B and I'll get back to you if I come up with anything good. So that's okay. How I'm going to carve out some time for myself.
Okay, so you're waking up at 5. What? Because this is a skincare podcast, this is a wellness podcast. Any new products that we're incorporating into the routine? Anything you've tried out lately?
I forgot. Les sent us the new their moisturizer. Have you tried that?
I didn't receive it. No.
Oh shit! Are you sure?
I guess you would. I would know.
Because I feel like time I was like in your little entryway and I was like, oh, that's, I looked down at the package and I was like, oh, that's the Less moisturizer. Like before I left, because we got it kind of a while ago.
Oh, okay. Maybe I do have it. I have some like boxes that are sitting on my counter right now.
Got it.
I think one's a box full of like Stravia. And then I think then I just have like a bunch of like Glossier shit all over the place.
Damn. No, I have that. Yeah, I have that moisturizer and it's pretty thick, so I kind of like that now that the temp's dropping a lot at night. But honestly, that's kind of it. What I actually need is a facial, but I would love a comped facial if anyone's yeah. listening. But I also probably not going to do it this year. But I think at the beginning of the next year, I'm really interested in doing some sessions of microneedling. Seeing what that does. But that's it. Wellness, gonna try getting back to the gym again this week. Gonna switch over my membership to a gym that's literally like 2 blocks away in the hopes that I can just 5 a.m. we're up, 5 5:05 we're out the door. 5:10 we're at the gym. Not gonna get beefy, but really gonna try to, you know, be fit again. Be back by 6:15. Cook some eggs. Cook some olive oil eggs. A little bit of avocado.
I fucking hate olive oil eggs.
Okay, well, get the fuck out of here.
I fucking hate them. Anytime. I don't even know. Yeah, all right.
How do you make them, though? Or how have you had them?
Yo, you make it with, like, curry butter. You make it with butter.
No, but, like, if you mix the eggs with a little bit of olive oil before and not, like, just, like, put olive oil on the pan.
Yeah. I guess, like, the way I'm imagining.
I mean,
yeah,
I like
the olive oil on the pan with the egg is just, like, fucking, like, hell.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I just, like, mix it all together and you add a little bit of water, too. And they just kind of end up being, like, really creamy eggs if you slowly cook them. But I'm also just... I don't know why. I'm not trying to. Something feels like butter's for the weekend. That's like
butter's for the week.
Yeah. I feel like if something feels wrong about cooking with butter in the morning, on a weekday.
Yeah, it's like artery restricting. You know, it's like I need to get that blood flow up. You know,
exactly.
The weekend I can let it all clog.
Yeah. But that's that. What about you? Any new products, wellness?
Well, I tried out the Nice Ice.
I
haven't used it frequently enough to you know, let on about or go on about any kind of results. But yeah, like just a couple hours ago, I took a shower and then I took the box.
Say
I took
shit.
Sophie Pavitt's Nice Ice set of ice toner cubes out. Of their little out of the box, and I notice immediately. Well, here's a tip for Sophie if she's listening. Because like the capsule's like frozen, it's kind of hard to
layer.
Rip it open.
It is, yeah. And then
it's
there's that other layer that like does you like you rip like the first layer off, and then like I don't think it's
there's some
maybe
film on it.
There's some film on it too that like oh now I got to rip this off.
Well, I took a knife to it just to be like real clean about it, and then I didn't have a cotton pad, so I kind of ripped off a paper towel and folded it very nicely, and I took the toner cube and folks, it was cold. It was ice. It was ice on the skin. I haven't really thought through my review of it yet. So
I mean,
I'm
if
sorry
anything,
this
the
is
experience...
on the spot. But it really just happened a couple hours ago because I was like, oh, fuck, I got to jump on the pod. But what it reminded me of, like, on like as like from like the essence of the product reminds me of a hot summer day and you and your friends, you go, you know what would be great? Some popsicles.
Some dome.
And so you know what would be even better than popsicles? Us making our own popsicles.
Oh,
and then
shit.
You go to the frozen food section and you get like a frozen package of just like grape juice or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to like, it was concentrated grape juice. You go put it in a pitcher and you add water to it and you mix it up and then you pour it into your little ice tray or your popsicle tray, and then you put it in the freezer and then you take it out.
Cooking.
And then the way you enjoy it is it just slowly melts in your mouth as you're taking endless licks to that thing. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. But
I never did all that. I just bought the Freezy Pops.
Wait, yeah. What was your popsicle?
Is that what they're called? Freezy? Hold on.
Well, this is like you would just make your own. I mean, you could make it out of anything, really. Just freezing juice and putting
Pop
in the freezer.
Ice. Is the wait, is that what you skin? Fun Pops? Hold on.
Blow Pops. Bomb Pops.
I'm sending you an image. I never made my own, but we would buy these. One time my mom went to Vegas with my sister over the weekend. And
those are called
$50 for food, and this was like when I was really acting up. My senior year of high school, you know, the soccer career, I put a screeching halt end to it, and I had people in my high school convinced me at a party, and what did I do with that $50? I took that $50 and I just bought $50 worth of whatever the fuck those pops were, and then had a party, and everybody was sucking them down, sticking them in their glass of vodka, and it all ruined the carpet. It ruined the carpets. And that was the last experience I had with the Fun Pops.
Damn, you know, it was all just a rebellion because you're just angry that, you know, mom went to Vegas without you.
I have no desire to go to Vegas. But
what's
yeah,
that?
Okay.
You don't want to go to Vegas? All right, Vegas is related to my dude of the week.
Okay.
But before we get there, after I used the toner, the nice ice, before Anna and I, we walked out for a second to go meet our friend Callie, who works at a great wine bar in Williamsburg called Pinkerton. Have you ever been to Pinkerton?
I haven't been to Pinkerton yet. No.
Okay.
But it's
Here's a little Dewey date tip for the folks in New York listening in Brooklyn. If you're looking for a spot, and I mean, it's a good wine bar, but what I noticed today is that you can't get any service there. Like, the service is just shit.
At Pinkerton?
I think that by default makes it a great date spot because you're not tempted to get on your phone.
Are they hiring? Let me know.
I will let you know if they are hiring. Also, yeah, this is well, never mind. I was going to say, hey, if anybody else needs someone with help with some
graphic
design, art direction, some whatever consulting, hit me up. Any overflow at your agency where you're like, wow, we have just so much fucking work. God, I wish we had a freelancer to take on some of this design. Brother, I'm there.
The best freelancer in New York's calendar is just freed up.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, as long as honestly, I'd probably actually wait until January. Might take the rest of the year off.
Must be nice.
I mean, I shouldn't, but all I
do
keep
that.
Seeing.
You should do that,
I mean,
honestly.
Well, all right. So while we were at the Pinkerton Wine Bar, as most conversations end, this topic came up, the topic of self-employment tax. And yeah, so that's.
You've been saving away?
Yeah, I've saved away, but.
Listen.
I just don't want to get my income up because then I'll have to owe more, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the IRS, they haven't come after, they take a while to come after you.
Okay.
I'll say that much. I'll say that much.
But
New York State.
Back to skincare.
Skincare.
Yeah. Back to skincare. You know, I'm this trip that's coming up. Is definitely a big reset for me. And I think the way just of like kicking it off with the facial and getting back into the groove of just like taking care of yourself, that's where I'm going to kind of come back to our roots, Emilio.
Okay.
So I have nothing really else to report. I mean, I've been using the Bio Effect serum, the Icelandic one they sent us.
Yeah.
I haven't really been moisturizing. But on the previous pod, I had mentioned how I think I'm kind of in a revolt against self-care.
Okay.
But I think that's related to
just
being under the weather, you know?
Or
having the case of the blues, you know?
Case of the blues, yeah.
Melancholy.
Melancholia.
Yeah. But I'm looking to get back there. I mean, you're inspiring me now to get up at 5 a.m., get back to the gym.
Well, don't do that.
I mean, this article we read about Erewhon, it makes me want to get on that the Zen macrobiotic diet of just rice and
really
and tea.
It, like by the end of it, I wanted nothing to do with that, even though I did just have a lovely bowl of rice. I didn't know. The beginning of it was so cultish. I didn't know the whole story behind it. Did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't know the story behind it either. I mean, really, I think it's more like the lore really has like, I think, nothing to do with its success. Well, success today because it was like that one.
Taken over.
As like the piece mentions, like that one store was bought by that one guy. And then like. I don't know. Then it got was about to like, shit, I'm butchering this. Wasn't there a moment in like 2011 where they were like about to go under and then like some guy like turned it all around?
I think it was before that. But yeah. Because that guy, I mean, I think halfway through reading it, I started drinking the Kool-Aid. There was a couple of, I think it was this guy that said, yeah, he went in there and there was just like a smell and something about it. So he did something about the smell. And his insight was this. He said, people may want natural food, but nature itself is the inconsistent chaos from which they and their food have been delivered. They don't want nature, but it's opposite. Civilization, control, and experience designed down to the inch. And I think that's when, yeah, I was at that point, I was chugging the Kool-Aid, read a little bit more. And I loved how he also said, the aisles are narrow and very tall, like the stacks in a university library. There's a quiet corridor. There's a quiet in the corridor, a sense of privacy there among the $18 jarred macaroons. And yeah, I think that's really when it took its turn into what it is today. Before that, yeah, it was just kind of like a, I don't know if grimy is the right word, but it was a...
so have you ever been one of those like bodegas that's like they're like really health focused
in New York?
Yeah.
No,
you've never been in one of those?
I've been in like the,
I mean, it's like technically it's like a health food store, but like right. Where it's like you go to the cash register and then it almost looks like an apothecary behind them.
Oh yeah, there's something crunchy about it.
But what I'm saying, it's like this guy could have came in and like turned around any like health food store. It just happened yeah. That like Erewhon had this like, I don't know, mythology to it. But I guess, I don't know. I just thought it was pretty ironic. I mean, like the book Erewhon got its name from, I guess, was this like sci-fi satire about like illnesses and, you know, prosecuting and jailing people for not taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And what the founders of Erewhon took away from it was, oh wait, that's actually a good thing. Like that's not a dystopia. That is actually what we should be championing. Yeah. And I don't even know what, like, there was one line from this piece that I took out that was like, okay, it starts like this. Erewhon's Wikipedia page describes the titular Erewhon of the 1872 novel as a quote utopia in which individuals are responsible for their own health. So yeah, that line, utopia, like utopia in which individuals are responsible for their own health, kind of bleak to me, if you're asking me.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think it's a very kind of, very a libertarian mindset, a very liberal thing to say.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And, has nothing to do with, the health of and care for others, but you know, that's.
I think as the article goes on, it kind of agrees with that viewpoint it's not a utopia at all. Most people aren't taking that away from the book.
Right, right. No, for sure. Any other highlights that you want to mention?
Learned a lot about. I actually, if you think about it, I don't really know anything about Erewhon. All I know,
I've never been in one.
I've seen one, and I've seen the people lining up outside, but it got me wanting to check it out. I didn't know, like, a typical Erewhon smoothie can include deer antler powder, pitaya, bee pollen, MCT oil, dandelion, collagen, celery, green apples, omega-3s, and minerals. Deer antler powder. I meant to look this up. Deer antler powder, known benefits. Boosts the body's production of anabolic hormones. Oh shit, dude. We got nature's steroids, such as testosterone, which promote muscle growth. Okay. But did you see that? I guess they're gonna, you think they'll open one in New York? I mean, that's what everyone keeps saying.
Yeah, I think, and they what is will. That? I think that's...
Do you think it's going to have the same cultural weight?
Yeah. You think it's going to have the same what?
Cultural weight in New York that it has in LA? Because I feel like in LA, it's like the whole package of like wellness and living in LA. But in New York, is it really going to be the same thing?
I don't know. I think I think maybe. I don't know. I feel I really can't say, because part of me thinks it could really succeed, because I think there is a new crop of like residents, all like a new crop of like transplants who really do wish for like the suburbification of New York. And I think this would go hand in hand with that. Maybe not in Manhattan, but like, you know, in Brooklyn specifically. But I mean, I think it'll be successful in the same way. What's that other place that just opened up?
Wegmans. No, I don't know.
Is it Wegmans? Is that it?
I don't. There's Wegmans.
I've never been to a Wegmans. It's kind of like a bougie grocery. Isn't that kind of like an Erewhon rival, or is Whole Foods the only?
I think Whole Foods is more. Yeah. I don't think Wegmans is just like a nice grocery store.
I don't really know anything about Erewhon. That's the thing. It's like it really is just like a meme to me, and like it's something that seems. I mean, until I could actually shop there and see the prices, it still just doesn't seem. I don't understand how it's so successful, but, I guess they're opening their 10th one. Fuck it. I mean, that's the way the article opens up. They're opening up their 10th one.
Yeah.
But something that really, really tickled me was this: the first shopper to enter the space, Kathleen O'Haron, when the reporter asked this person why she waited 4.5 hours to get into the new Erewhon, she responded. She said, "Why? Why? That's a great question." She said, "Content. Content is the reason why she wanted to go to Erewhon."
Yeah, I guess that's as you say that. I guess I could. It would have a lot of success in New York. I think for that reason only.
For that reason only. For content. It's people don't go there to get like to eat. They don't go there to find. I mean, they go there to buy the thing to talk about the thing they bought. Like that's what I imagine Erewhon exists for. You know, like as it's just, and I'll be honest, it depresses me a little bit. I mean, maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but it's something about food. Something about like going and buying food to talk about food on TikTok. It bums me out a little bit. I don't know. But it's like, it's no different from other forms of journalism, I guess.
Yeah. But, no, I would agree with you, though. I feel the same.
But it's just something about like just somebody who, you know, I understand how they would be like, yeah, like I think I want to share this with the world. I want to see if I can get some views off this, get a fucking, you know, get some views off.
Get some views.
But I don't know. It's like, was it worth it? Like, was it worth it? Like the $18 smoothie to go and talk about it? Like, was it worth it? I don't know.
I guess we'll have to find out for ourselves.
Well, once they open one up here. Yeah.
Or take a trip to LA.
We should take a trip to LA. I would love to plan that out.
Been thinking it. Not that.
Stop talking out of my ass about it.
Because I think I saw a friend posting that they were subletting a spot in LA, and for a split second, I was like, LA in the winter.
How much was it?
I don't know. I didn't say. I just said it was like a two-bedroom place. But can't be any more expensive than New York.
That's true. Yeah, it really can't. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it. It's like, well, you know, I guess being bi-coastal works out, because it's probably the same, probably costs the same as living in one place the whole year. So,
yeah.
Might as well. Let's do some segments. Do you have a dude of the week?
My dude of the week is, do you know who the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles is?
I will once you tell me.
Damn. Well, I didn't watch the game, and I've never watched the game, but he's on my fantasy football team, and he once again put some numbers up on the board, and it's the only constant I have in my life right now. That constant being Mr. Jalen Hurts putting in a hell of a performance every week. And he's my dude of the week that I've got to thank. Who's your dude of the week?
That's good. I know I've heard of Jalen. I've never seen him play. Was he in the Super Bowl last year with the Chiefs?
Wait, did the Chiefs play the Eagles last year?
Yeah, they played the Eagles last year, and they won on a the Chiefs won on I think a field goal or something really.
They won a field. Yeah, that was him. That was him.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I know who Jalen is. Yeah, my dude of the week. I got a couple of them.
Oh shit!
I really just wanted to read a response from Rick Ross.
Okay.
In a Rolling Stone Q&A, because he's been Rick Ross, dude of the week. He's been performing, like, I guess, a residency for the last 2 years, and he just signed on to extend it for another two.
And, wait, where's residency? You know,
what's up?
Where is the residency?
This place called, I think it's called Drayo.
In Vegas?
D-R-A-I-O. Yeah, in Vegas. Got in Vegas.
Damn, okay.
It's
in Vegas,
I think it's Drayo. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but he's there. And anyway, you know, you can read through it. He's talking about how Vegas is no longer a place that you kind of like, you know, roll your eyes when you think of performers who are, you know, in their twilight years. It's, you know, where a lot of like artists in their prime are now like doing residencies there, or like they're attracting people to come versus like, you know, in the past, you go to Vegas, you're like, oh, we might as well go see this person because they're there and we haven't heard of them and we haven't heard from them in 20 years. Might as well go see them. But that's not the quote I want to highlight. The quote I want to highlight is incredible. All right, I want to get your reaction on this.
Okay.
So the Rolling Stone reporter asks Rick Ross. So you just bought a $37 million house on Star Island in Miami. When you walk around that place, do you just marvel at how far you've come? And Rick Ross responds. He says, oh my God, I just purchased it 2 months ago and started the demolition to redo it. But I go in my backyard and I sit there and watch the tour boats come out. And the weird thing is, everyone else that lives on Star Island does the opposite. But for Rosé, it was big for you to take your girlfriend on that $40 boat ride just to look at those houses and yards. And you'd whisper in her ear as you're looking at those houses, one day I'm going to fuck you on top of the washing machine.
Oh my.
He finishes and he says, so when I come out there, I wave because I know what it's like to be on that boat. And I just.
Damn, that is not what I was expecting him to say.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Shit, that's dope as hell. I gotta get on that mindset.
Yeah. So that's one dude of the week. A couple other dudes of the week. I mean, yeah, I feel like there have been a lot of biopics come out this year.
Okay.
And it's kind of gotten me. I've been really interested in watching like more types of movies similar to like, you know, Oppenheimer or even Priscilla, you know, just like historical, you know, movies about historical figures. And I was bored on Twitter the other day and this Criterion Closet haul came up of Ari Aster choosing some movies. Mm-hmm. And he chose a few movies that came out in the 2000s that like totally I never heard about. Like I just had never heard anything about them. And one of which was called The New World, directed by Terrence Malick, and then Steven Soderbergh's Che Part 1 and Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever heard of any of these? Have you ever watched them?
I know The New World, but I haven't watched any of them, no.
Okay. Well, yeah, I watched these three movies like last week, and they're incredible. I mean, I could go into depth and talk about them, but I will not. I will say, if you're looking for something like cinema, like just visually moving and poetic, check out, and you like I don't know, period pieces. Check out The New World, and then Che Part 1, Part 2. I have no idea how he made those movies. It's insane. Like, and I don't know. also, you know, it feels like resistance is a big theme in the world. So I don't know, like, yeah, check out the Che series, I guess. So,
oh, I didn't realize it's like on like Che Guevara. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just looking them up.
Yeah.
Damn, starring Benicio del Toro.
I mean, it's wild. It's wild. Like because it's like 2.5 hours for both part one and part two. And there is no CGI, let me tell you that. So it's, if you're into that kind of thing, if you're into a lot of, I guess, if you're into war.
Che, sure. Dude, he was getting in Miami mindset, Cuban mindset.
Yeah, it's like, as I ready for my trip to Miami, so.
Sick, yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm going to watch, so I'm going to try to, I got to find an AM job, because it's like, I always have like one or two nights a week off, and then I end up having to, you know, you have to see people, and then I don't have time to see a movie, but I did watch Phantom Thread on the plane.
Yeah.
But I didn't finish
on
it.
On the plane.
It was too long. It was too long, so I finished the last hour that I hadn't seen last night. Not the ending I was expecting. Caught me off guard there.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, maybe I wasn't paying attention. Just
Yeah. I'm curious, as you were watching it, is it the first time?
Yeah,
feel it as more of a comedy than a drama? I mean, it's a drama, but like, I feel like the first time I watched it, well, I want to hear your answer. Did you feel like, were you laughing more than you were like in shock of like their relationship?
I was definitely more in shock. I don't think I was laughing.
Okay.
Until maybe the final third, I was just like, I don't even know if I think it was funny. I was just like, wait, I was like, I don't know what's going on right now. I don't know what's like, at that point it felt like a little more like a comedy, but no, definitely more shocked at the beginning, but great film.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yeah. I saw that with Anna like a few weeks ago at Metrograph, and it's kind of funny like watching it after having seen it a couple times, like just how, and I think the audience there too had seen it a couple times, just mm-hmm. how like everyone's laughing at the dialogue, because
oh, really?
I think the first time you watch it, because the way the movie's marketed in the like its style, it seems very, very serious. And
yeah,
I feel like this is pretty like this is typical for Paul Thomas Anderson, where it's just like you're allowed to laugh at his movies, even if he's like dealing with like very tense relationships and, you know, and abusive relationships, like
yeah.
even in The Master, like you're allowed to laugh at these kind of things because they're just like the lines of dialogue are so ridiculous, and like you just don't know anybody like I forget the name of the character in Phantom Thread. What's his name? It's like
I don't
remember, but also too, I mean, like, not to give anything away, the reason why they're like kind of relationship works is, I don't know, it's what's
Mr.
your toes
Woodcock. That's what it is, Mr. the, Woodcock.
Yeah. She kind of
Alma,
she's in on it, you know what I mean? They're fighting, they're like,
yeah, I mean, I think that's like at the very end I'm like, oh, okay, like she's in on it,
it works, whatever the fuck they're doing, it works. If you like watching, that's funny you mentioned this, because yesterday I watched The Age of Innocence with Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's another, if you like that type of Daniel Day-Lewis, you'll also like this movie, because he plays like this kind of like this dandy ninny, and he's like not the rugged like There Will Be Blood like Gangs of New York type Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's just funny to watch him be like, I don't know, a little bit more effeminate. It's fun. But that's all I gotta say. Those are my dudes of the week.
You got any do's and don'ts?
Yeah, do's and don'ts. If you're struggling, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, to floss your teeth. bring your floss into the shower. Just keep a little package of it there. And that'll help you out.
Beautiful. Sorry, I was just trying to remember whether I'd showered today. Maybe because like, maybe
the
I'll,
depression yeah, is
hitting. Maybe I'll take a take a shower before I hop into my clean sheets and do a little floss in the shower. Go to bed early-ish, wake up, read. Don't touch your phone until you absolutely have to. Been thinking a lot about that 5,000 notification stat. Because I felt like my phone was going off all day with random notifications from apps that I don't even remember having. Delete apps on your phone when you don't need them anymore. Do I need the ESPN app? I don't think I do. I think I need to let that one go. That's all I got.
Put away money for taxes.
Pay. It's honestly just pay quarterly taxes, because then you might even get some money back at the end of the year.
That's true. That's true. That's all I got.